Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the 2012 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration. I'm pleased to welcome you to our next session, Test Your Way to More Sales, the Top 10 Cart, Product Page, and Homepage Tests from Which Test Won. Conversion optimization through A-B testing is a surefire way to increase revenue for your e-commerce site. In today's session, you'll see data from realized A-B tests conducted by some of the most successful online retailers, get insights and inspiration for your next testing campaign with real examples, real data, and expert analysis, and learn conversion optimization best practices and tactics. Guiding you through all this great information today is Justin Rondeau, the Chief Evangelist and Editor of Which Test Won, which is a fantastic online publishing company that focuses on website conversion and optimization. You may know the company from its emails that test website landing pages, daily or weekly, but it's a great publication. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. You can even tweet right from the console. Lastly, if you leave the session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Retail Marketing Virtual Show on-demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Monday, April 23rd. So without further ado, please welcome Justin Rondeau, Which Test Won.
All right. Thank you very much for having me, Melissa. I'm looking forward to this presentation, and I hope everybody here is as well. As Melissa said, this is the top 10 A-B and MVT tests proven to increase e-commerce sales. And let me first introduce myself just a little bit. I am a testing journalist. I like to call myself an industry analyst. I'm really here just to educate and inspire you about increasing revenue using A-B testing. I guess a little bit more about myself. I've had the pleasure to speak about testing topics and conversion rate optimization, as well as other marketing tactics at different workshops such as the Affiliate Summit, Conversion Conference, various Media Bistro conferences as well. I've also spoken at many private webinars discussing these topics, and I have a testing history covering email testing, landing page testing, and on-site optimization, as well as being a hands-on trainer within conversion rate optimization. So I'm really not here. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not here to tell you to kind of promote different types of testing tools or testing agencies. I'm here just to show you the power of testing to really move the needle and kind of add to the bottom line. So at Which Test Won, we have over 220 different A-B tests, and we add a new one each week. Just under half of our library is composed of e-commerce tests, and we're adding again more each week as we go through. You'll be able to get information on these tests and inspiration for new tests that you should start running on your own website. For anybody who's not running any sort of A-B tests on their website, let's run down kind of the basics of what A-B testing is and how testing works. Testing takes the current amount of traffic that you have coming into your website and is really trying to optimize the experience for the users to increase their conversion actions. So if you're trying to sell more in your cart, you're going to increase your click-throughs to your cart and then finally to the completion of the sale. You're not adding more traffic to your website. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions people get with conversion rate optimization, and you'll have with it as an issue with higher-ups at your organization. They're in the mindset of more traffic means more money, but that's not the case. It's what you do with the traffic you get that is more money. So really how A-B testing works is you take that current traffic, you can split it, whether it be 50-50, like 33-33-33, depending on different variations. You make sure that you split in such a way that you're getting enough traffic that you can reach statistically significant results but at a high conclusiveness level, and whichever version ends up getting the higher conversion rate is your winner, and then you could run out to your entire public. So anybody seeing the site would then click there and based on those assumptions, you would see a conversion rate that would increase at 100% of your traffic. Okay. Let's move on. In today's test, you're going to see response improvements from around 17.5% to 88%. So those are some pretty big lifts. At the higher level, at the 88% level, that might be a little outside of the norm. But say you just start testing, you're on an e-commerce site, you're likely to see somewhere around a 20% lift for something that's just been optimized. All right. So before I get into our number 10 slot of shipping copy tests, I want to just explain how this presentation is going to go. I'm going to show you two versions, an A and a B. And from there, I want you to take a look at it and just analyze it, as well as I'll give some commentary on what the differentiating factors are on those pages. Afterwards, I'll show you the winning version and give you data about the actual lift that occurred, the brand that ran the test, as well as what testing technologies they used. From there, I'll also use some, I'll analyze the different factors that have changed and kind of give you a why to juxtapose to the what. So, okay, let's move on. All right, so our number 10 is a Hallmark copy test, and this was run on their product pages while people viewed different cards. In this case, the circle that we added on there, that is on there, was added by Which Test One to point out the only differentiating factor, and we took out the rest of the page so you can focus simply on the actual copy there. On the top, it is about shipping and mailing. There it is. It's kind of low for me. And on the bottom, it says delivery details and shipping costs. So if you take a look at those two forms of shipping copy, which one do you think would actually convert more? So take a second to think about that. And it was actually, and I should have pushed, put a more zoomed in version in here. It was the shipping details one, the bottom one on there. And you saw a 14% lift in click-throughs and an 80% lift in revenue per visitor. This was run by Hallmark, and they ran this with their in-house marketing team using Autonomy Optimost. And really, the differentiating factor here was just what the customer was looking for on this page, what resonated more with your customers. And a simple copy test like this is something that's very, very easy for any company to really run. And as you can see, had pretty impressive results. This actually won in our 2012 Which Test One Testing Awards. And it's just a very inspirational test and a very simple one for you to use in a deep funnel page like your last piece product page in your e-commerce funnel. So now we'll move on to product pages. Okay, so we're coming up right now. Okay, so this is a product page test. And the only difference between the left and the right-hand side is the default number of products shown. You have on one side, there's actually 50 on the left side. It goes down far lower than the actual presentation would allow, unless you wanted to like squint. But in this case, on the right-hand side, they only viewed 10 different options. So if you take a moment to just think about which one might win out, I'll switch on over. All right, and this is actually the one that had 50 different selections on there, where you see a 35% lift in completed sales. This is run by Palmer's using eDialog, using testing technology VWO, which stands for Visual Website Optimizer, for those who aren't that testing savvy. So I guess this test really stresses that with any sort of tool you're using, whether it be an email tool, a CMS, or really anything, that whatever they set for defaults does not mean optimal. So in this case, what happened at Palmer's, eDialog noticed that the default of 10 wasn't producing as well as they thought that it could. They came up with the hypothesis that if they had more products on there, maybe their customers would stay on that one page, and then from keeping the customer on that page would find what they were looking for a bit easier and then convert. The people at eDialog were exactly correct. And by changing that one simple default setting from 10 to 50, they saw a 35% lift in completed sales. And that's huge. So keep that in mind when you're developing new pages on your site or when you've kind of been doing things by the book and it's been a bit stagnant with certain settings on your own site. Ask yourself, why do we have these settings? Why are we only showing 10 things? Why are we showing only 5 things? Why are we showing only one product when we could possibly be showing, you know, 50 products or more or even less? So you need to just have an understanding of your audience and really get the idea of how do they shop on your website and start testing different product views. Right, so we're going to go into our number 8, which is a category page test. And so on this category page, you'll notice on here that there's a button change where on the right-hand side they have 2 separate buttons, and on the left-hand side they have just 1 button. And I think more importantly, you'll see that there's a different number of items on each row. Just if you want to take a second to just think about which one increased revenue for this company. I actually want to give you a closer look at the buttons themselves. You'll see the orange one just says order now, whereas the 2 buttons were quick view, which would load up another window about the product, and then order now, which would then obviously order the product. So move over. And in this case, you space on 88% purchase list, and this was run by Bloom Avenue using with help of Magnify 360 using Protective DNA. And this test actually came as a bit of a surprise to me at first. My eyes focused generally on the buttons, and having multiple buttons or multiple calls to action is generally not a best practice, which kind of goes back to the beginning of why we started Which Test 1, which is to show people that their gut instincts and just following best practices isn't necessarily the best way to design a website. You're not going to have optimal results because simply put, you're not your target audience. You need to know how your audience interacts on your page and what they're looking for. The key here is there's more products on the page. And by no means am I advocating for always having more products on a page. That might add more clutter than necessary. But for Bloom Avenue, they saw by adding those extra rows, they were able to increase their purchase list by 88%. And that's just astounding. So they did break a kind of a general best practice by adding extra buttons in there, and that some might think are a bit extraneous and distracting. But they did increase their purchase list by breaking that best practice and trying something out as well. So now we're going to move on to our number 7 test, which is a button copy test. Okay, so this is a e-commerce button test. This is a B2B e-commerce cart, or actually product page, where they're looking for personalization on pens. You have on one side where it says personalize now, and the other simply says customize. That's the only difference on the page. There's no difference in prices and navigation or anything. There's only one change, and that is the actual call to action on the button. If you want to take a second to think about which one won, I will then move on. All right. So personalize now got a 24% lift in sales with a 48% lift in revenue per visitor. This was run by Amsterdam Printing, and they ran this in-house using Adobe Test and Targeting. And this test, I absolutely love this test simply because it's a reminder of how important the call to action on buttons are, where personalize now really resonated better with Amsterdam Printing's audience. It has a sense of not really immediacy, but it's a sense that you're going to get something done within that next click, not just customize. Customize leaves things a bit open. And so they're playing towards the psychology of the customer, which is great. And they also just ran a really successful test on a very, what some would look at as a small element, but had astounding lift in sales and revenue per visitor. Anybody who sees this should really think about what they're saying on their buttons. If you have a button on your website that says submit, that's one of your first buttons as you start testing. You should really get the name off of there. Try to really push your customer a little bit further. That's one of our kind of first steps if you have any sort of buttons on your site. The submit button is just not all that great. And if you actually use one, I'd really suggest start testing there. Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to a homepage test. Right, so this test is actually, this is not an A-B test. This is an MVT test where they tested many different variables on the website. So if you want to just take a look at these two pages, you'll see that it's a massive, massive radical redesign. But the data does back the different elements that have changed. So if you want to pick which one you think won, we can move over. Okay, so the goal of this was mainly to reduce homepage abandons. As we all know, our homepage is mainly our top entrance page, but also our top exit or bounce page. So they were really trying to get down on those reductions, get down on the abandons and the bounces. And how they did that, as you can see, is they reduced the navigation. Actually, let me go back to the last one so I can kind of juxtapose the two images. And you can see on the losing side, they have a top navigation banner and all sorts of different elements within there, cross-sells and trying to promote different products and services all at once. In this case, with this MVT test, they could test each individual element and, in fact, test the layout. And in this case, what they did is they, with a 19% reduction, it was simply about the layout. It wasn't about the different elements that had changed. It just shows that the importance of the navigation and the layout change for ASDA, which is actually kind of like the European Walmart, to put it in perspective of how big they are. They saw a really nice drop in abandons and kept keeping people on the site by moving navigation from that top bar to the middle into the content part of the page where people can interact with it more. And this is just another test you can start thinking of how you have your navigation displayed on your website. Is it a top nav or is it a left-hand nav? Do you have it in the body? These are all things you need to keep in mind while you're developing your site or while you're testing your site. And then I think another important factor in this page is if this is a template test for a page, you have to make sure that this one test is scalable. So if you're changing navigation to the body content, is that going to be work across your entire template? And those are tests you have to run and look at your incoming traffic and how they interact with your page. So before ASDA rolled this out, they didn't want to just, we got a 19% drop in abandons. Let's make this live through a whole site. They probably went through an intense rollout process to make sure this was the proper page to go across their entire site. Okay, we're going to move to cart tests. Okay, and this is a cart test run by Laura Ashley. The main difference between the left and the right is the shift in the buttons. You have three choices on the left, two choices on the right, and there's actually a gray bar at the top as well. Just making sure everybody sees all the changes on there. So if you want to make your decision on who wins this one or which test wins, the version that had less buttons got an 18.87% lift moving into the checkout process. This is run by Laura Ashley using Maximizer and the proprietary testing technology. The interesting thing about this test is that the third option that disappeared was still available, but they made it hyperlinked text. So that puts it really on the back burner. And here they just focus on checkout. We just, right here, we have just focusing on checkout, and then you can move backward as well. This is a great page and a great test to run after you've run or optimized your cart to its fullest extent. Whenever you're running any sort of test, you want to kind of go from the pages that make you the most money, that are the high converting pages, or the actual conversion pages, and then move upward through the funnel. So this is the product view, and it actually got 18.87% of people moving into the checkout process. So you'd want to make sure that your checkout process is as optimized as possible to make sure you don't lose these people. Okay, move to the next one. Number four, it's a cross-sell test. So right here we have two different images. Just as a note, all this traffic came from pay-per-click traffic with people searching for stun guns and tasers. So we have just the one hero shot image with more information about it. And then we have on the bottom the hero shot image, as well as on the right-hand margin, you have a cross-sell for more inexpensive items. So you want to take a guess to check which one. Let me go back. Sorry, we just had a question from the audience that I wanted to get to. It is important to say the copy on the button, sort of that slide I gave you guys earlier about always check your button copy would make no sense. So I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
Sorry. The listener said the last one.
So we have continue shopping and go to checkout, and the other one was an add to bag. So just adding the product and then continue shopping, or continue shopping without adding the product or going to checkout. So they made the hypertext the add to bag part, whereas in the losing version, they had an add to bag button to clarify.
And then also the red text on the top.
Mm-hmm. So the red text at the top is actually a testimonial that says, let your attacker know you're not someone to mess with, even at a distance. A reliable taser can be easily used on your target, even if they are still approaching. So not a testimonial, but a quote. That'd be another test to look at, whether you should have people actually with their names and faces there, if a quote will do itself. But yep, the main difference on this page is actually the cross cell on there, but it's a good eye to look at all of the different text as well as the different colors and different variations that the text is formatted in. So I'll click next and show the winner. This is actually a winner of our silver award in the 2012 testing awards. And the winner was actually the one with the cross cell. And remember, this is all PPC traffic. So people, these were all just ads talking about the actual model of the Taser M26C. But as you see, there's a pretty high sticker shock on that piece. It's $499. And what's on the right-hand side, I believe it's $399, and then one, it's a small thing, it's $69.95. So it's reducing the cart abandonment while increasing sales. Maybe it's not increasing sales for for this particular model, but it's increasing sales across the site. So this is run by Beth Stugnun, using a Google Website Optimizer, which is GWO, with the agency called Future Now. Okay, I'm going to go into site search results. Okay, so this is actually a pretty elaborate test and requires a lot of work on the back end. So I don't know, unless you're really, really into testing, this might apply to you, but I think it's just really cool to see as well. On the left-hand side, people would type in the search window and they'd be brought to a new search page, whereas on the right-hand side, they type in the search window and that drop-down shows up with their search results, and that is the only difference on that homepage. I'm going to click over. And they saw a 49% boost in purchases by using that search result that pops up on that homepage. This is run by Fogg using agency type results and their proprietary testing technology. And again, this requires a lot of work on the back end to get this done correctly. But if you do have on-site search, or you should definitely be testing it, both the search box itself and your search display, and how your search results display. Mainly because the people who actually search, use your on-site search, are more likely to convert because they kind of have what they want in mind, but it's also their last hurrah. If they don't see what they're looking for on that first page of search results, they're more than likely going to abandon. So it's very important that you have a pretty good algorithm in the back end for how you're going to be running internal search, as well as optimizing how your search is displayed, and how prevalent your search box is on your site. Okay. So we're going to move on to the next one. And this is a path test. And to kind of give an idea of what a path test is, it's just following the internal traffic that visitors take in order to reach a certain destination on your website. So looking back at the path they took to make that conversion action. So it's really like regressive analysis. Okay. So this is a test where they were trying to test which display within this path would convert better to the next step. So they noticed on this page that people weren't going further into the funnel as they should. So they wanted to test which type of information. So as you see on here, the only difference of this page is the default tab that loads. If you look at the center where the content is, you'll see, I believe it's 7 different tabs that you can choose to look at for more information. And they tested 2 of these, one being the qualitative information about the trip itself, which is on the right-hand side, and the more quantitative information about kind of the extra prices and extra costs that the trip will take. So I'll go to the next screen. And the winner was the one with the numerical data at 17.5% lift in sales run by Crass NL, and this was run in-house using an in-house testing technology. And what they had found was just based on their demographic, they had done the people in Crass, and people who have worked with Crass, some of the different agencies who have worked with them, have used previous test data from other organizations that showed that the qualitative data was actually doing a lot better on different sites, and they were different sites in different regions. What they found out was their main target demographic, when they were coming here, they were more interested in the actual numbers and about that stuff, because they're really looking to make that purchase and convert further. So the quality of people that hit this page first are far more likely to convert than the people that are kind of reading more about the trip, which obviously leads to the 17.5% lift in sales. So this is a really great test. It's simple to do. All the content is on the site regardless. All they have to do is click over to read more about the trip. It's still there. It's just a matter of what gets displayed first. Then we're going to go to our kind of our number one thing you should be testing on your site, and it's an overlay test. So the only difference on this site is the use of an overlay or no overlay. And just take a guess right here, which one you think wins. And actually, we saw who won here was the page with the overlay. They saw an 18% higher average order value, as well as 17% more revenue per session. That's a pretty big lift for a company like iRobot. And again, all they did was put an overlay on this screen. For what happened after somebody clicked on that overlay, they were brought to actually another page that had an offer, a cheaper offer than what they were being sold on that page. So that could have definitely helped in selling the pieces, but they were also given a representative to call. So in order to make this purchase, they actually had to call iRobot, which is actually another like fascinating nuance of this test, is that they actually got people onto the phone by using this overlay, by disrupting the situation and then bringing people over to their phone and calling them and purchasing a product. I think that's just absolutely amazing that they're able to do that. And overlays in general, say if you're trying to get some leads for your email list and you have an inline form on your page, if you have a page that has a high response for generating leads, I definitely recommend trying an overlay on that page as well to generate these leads. I know some people think it's a bit too intrusive and a bit disruptive, but there is data behind at least testing an overlay on there. You'll see a difference between your inline and your overlay completion by about 10x. So it's very, very important that you test these aspects out on your website to really start increasing the engagement on there, whether it be even them just clicking X on there. They're already into your page, and they might read further. But, again, maybe some people will find it disruptive and bounce. So the different metrics you have to pay attention to while you're testing these things, such as an overlay, are definitely your exit rate or your bounce rate, to see if it's changing, or your click-through rate throughout the process. All right. So those are my top 10 testing tips for e-commerce sites. And if you want to see some more testing case studies, you should definitely go to whichtestone.com. We add new tests every week. You get to vote on it, get all this information about the tests themselves. And just looking forward to having some more readers and some more people commenting. We have a pretty live community on our pages. They're pretty vocal and very opinionated. So if I put a test that's not so great up there, they always let me know, and they always let me know if my analysis is not where it should be, even though I'll argue back. So I really look forward to people adding to our community, and I hope you really enjoyed this presentation. And we're getting to my favorite part, which is question and answer. So I think I should just pass this over to Melissa. Are you taking care of that?
Great. Well, we have some great we got a few really complimentary comments, but we need some more questions, guys, so please send them in. But the first question that we received is, I think this is more of a question in general, or how you feel about this, but is there any difference between first and repeat visitors to a site, I guess, when you're testing it? I think that's what she's asking.
Okay. Well, there definitely is. And this kind of goes into more, I guess, intermediate to advanced testing tactics when you start doing different types of segmentation. You definitely want to keep into account your new versus your returning visitors. I mean, if you take, for example, a site like WhichTest1, we have a high returning visitor rate because these people are just, you know, returning readers each week. So if we're going to create content, we want to create content exclusively for them, and we could segment different tests that we're running to go just for our returning visitors. They're more likely to become paid users of our website and paid subscribers. And those are tests we want to run on that traffic. Whereas maybe we just want to make sure that new visitors are signing up for our newsletter. And so I could say right away, a test I'd love to run on our own website that would just target new versus returning is that when we have returning visitors who come, maybe their second session or third session at our site, we hit them up with an overlay that says, you know, we're glad you like our content. You should look into our paid content as well. And then for the new visitors, just we do have the free newsletter at the top, but even just test that overlay and see if we can get people in there only when new visitors show up, because people who are returning visitors would hate seeing a overlay talking about join our mailing list when they get our email every month. So There is definitely a lot of difference between the psychology between the new and the returning visitor.
Great. Another question's come in. Can you recommend, I'm not sure if you can do this, but can you recommend any testing tools or free ones especially?
I can't recommend anything based on, like we like to say Swiss neutral, but I can tell you that there is a free testing tool, and it's Google Website Optimizer. It's pretty rudimentary, but it'll get the job done if you're just getting started. But any sort of paid stuff, I can't really recommend because we like to say Swiss neutral. We do actually have, though, some resources on our site that will help you choose your – that will give you a background for how to choose an actual testing agency or testing technology.
Okay, great. Excuse me. This is kind of an interesting one. Do you have any – I'm not sure if you have any tests or if you have any – if you can recall any results of tests for using a video spokesperson on the home or on a page, landing page, home page, versus not using one?
Yeah, we actually have a fair handful of those on our page. And we have one that was done by Napster a while back.
Wow, that's old.
yeah, that's an old one. That's an archived one, but it's a really interesting one as well where there's a lot of takeaways that you get in there where the only thing they had that they added a 40-second video on there with this woman that pops up. And it's 40 seconds just talking about what you get and versus nothing. And that had a significant lift. But we also have tests where video has really hindered. And it's a matter of recognizing the area of the funnel that your customer's in where you're testing videos. We had one video that absolutely just dived because it was at the last part of a four-step lead generation form where they add a video. They add a video in there at the end thinking it might keep people on there a bit longer, but it distracted them and they never finished. So, and I think that one had such – it was around 439% difference in lead generation there. So that was a big mistake by them to put that video in there. So it's really important to put things in context. There's really no rule of thumb on the video case. And we have, I think, different supporting factors for both using video and not using it, kind of, again, keep it in context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would assume that's the case with a lot of the tests. You know, it's sort of just one part of it. They could be very subjective in terms of the different things you're testing. And so let's see. This is actually kind of interesting. What's the maximum number of elements one should test with the multivariate test?
All right. When you do a multivariate test, for every element you add in there, it grows exponentially. So you need to have then specific amount of – for each one to get statistically significant results, you need to have enough traffic to justify that your conversions at a high confidence level are a specific standard deviation away, whether it be – and this is going to get a little intense, so sorry if it's a little technical – if you want to be a 95% standard deviation away, it's like a 1.96 factor you have to put in there, which is just – it gets really intense when you're doing those things, which actually testing tools will take care of. But the more you add, again, it grows exponentially. And so say, like, you have two pages with three elements you're going to have to deal with nine different variation pages. 27. Yeah, you'll have to deal with 27 different pages that will actually be tested technically or within those realms, and that's going to take a lot of traffic. So if you have a high traffic website, I'd say definitely take a look at your MDT options, but specifically if you have kind of a lower traffic website, stick to kind of the AB realm because you do need a heck of a lot of traffic. There's a cool webinar we had on Which Test One where we had somebody from Google who was telling us about one of their biggest tests they ever ran for YouTube. And Just the amount of time and the amount of traffic and the amount of variations there was in the couple of thousands is what they were doing. It was insane. But it's MVT is just, it's a very elaborate, but as you get into testing, it does become something that's necessary.
So let's see. Can you recommend how long you should run a test to get solid results?
Yep, and then this is like, this is something I hear, this is a question I get a lot. Actually, when I started testing, a question I was looking a lot around for, I was always like, oh, how long do I have to do this? And I, the short and long of it is, there is really no set time, but what I like to look at, and I've heard this from some people like at Microsoft and just from my own testing background, is I like to run things for about 3 weeks. Even though like a company like Microsoft where they get enough traffic and enough conversions to, you know, wrap up a test in a couple days. They like to do 3 weeks because they want to make sure that those like the traffic fluctuations on those days weren't, you know, just kind of a variation in itself. They want to be able to level the playing field and make sure that they have enough time versus just the amount of traffic. But you don't want to let a test go too long. Just letting a test go, like, you know, 3 months just to reach statistically significant conclusions isn't going to be a conclusive test at all. It's actually more or less a failure. So I'd say that the happy point there is about 3 weeks. 21 days, kind of go for that. You get the weekends. You get the actual days themselves. If you have holidays in there, keep that in mind. Seasonality is very important, as we all know online, especially in the e-commerce world. So keep that in mind as well.
Okay, great. We probably have time for maybe just one other question before we have to wrap it up. But do you have any tests based on discounts and how they are shown? Like, in other words, if they have a dollar sign versus a percentage, or, you know, the word off or anything like that, do you differentiate your tests based on that? Do you have any?
I'm not sure if we have many on ours, but those are actually great tests to run. Those might be something you want to push off in the usability realm, like when you're selecting your price. But when you're getting into your AB area, how you display it, definitely. I'd say that's an awesome test to run. So if you're actually running tests, I'd suggest doing that because how people look at things is dollar off versus percentage off. It's completely different and a variable that I think could increase your lift.
Definitely. Okay, actually, let's do one other. How about if you're selling really big ticket items like cars or something like that? I mean, do you recommend specific kinds of tests that impact most versus more of a traditional consumer packaged good or, I don't know, the apparel?
That's actually kind of tough. We actually have some automotive tests on our site where they were looking at just kind of bringing people into the dealership and getting people out there to sell the cars themselves. So they were pushing some pretty heavy lead generation tests to get people to look at their books or look at their past sales records. Because, I mean, when you start looking about high-ticket items, especially vanity items, if you're a nicer car company, let's say, for instance, like a Lexus, it becomes vanity at that point. So you want to make people want certain products. So if you have the proof that people are purchasing, like maybe put together something like a piece of content that you can push out there, like the most popular car sold last month or last quarter, then you publish that on your site and you say, hey, check these out. Do these interest you? Give us your phone number or come in or set an appointment. And then you're really going to be getting that, striking that vanity chord in people, and they're going to see, like, they're going to want things people want. And so that would be something I think of for high-ticket items, is just kind of like striking a vanity chord. If you're kind of in the industry side things, where it's really kind of big, like servers or anything on that realm, I'd still recommend running tests at that converting factor. So you want to go to where the final conversion spot is and start looking at your page and seeing what the pain point is on that page exactly. So it's mainly if it's a form they have to fill out. What's going wrong there? If it's the form itself, I'd start there actually as out of the form. Or if it's then move to the page layout. And then once that's optimized, you move up to the next page. And that's how you'll get your site to its most optimal form for bringing people into the funnel and all the way out to your, maybe to your, into your pockets.
Great. Excellent. Well, that's great advice. So I think we're going to have to wrap it up, but I want to thank Justin for a fantastic presentation, really dynamic and interactive, and I think really great information. And then on behalf of Retail Online Integration, I want to thank you all for attending the session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat with other session attendees, and you can also visit the info booth to fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And we also have another session lined up, the closing keynotes coming up. So we encourage you to stick around for that. And remember, if you weren't able to watch the presentations live today, add them to your briefcase and view them at your convenience in the on-demand environment. So have a great day, everybody.